And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 188. I'm Silas Lindenstein, and I am your host with the most. Samantha Rund is on assignment. Today's episode is a great review episode with a guest. It's a Black and a Half Reviews with a guest. Today I have with me Renee. Renee was my guest to see West Side Story, the new Steven Spielberg adaptation of the 50s musical, which is an adaptation of Romeo and Juliet from the 1600s. So yeah, so we got a lot happening today. Well, not a lot. It's just one review episode. That's it. We talk extensively for a while about West Side Story, and it was really fun. So if you're into that musical, or if you're into hearing about it, then this is the show for you. If you don't like West Side Story, maybe we will convince you on why you should check it out. If you've never seen it, or has anyone not seen it? Can you go this far in life without having seen West Side Story? I don't know. Find out today. So Renee, just going by her, she's a one name woman. All right, Renee, like Prince or Madonna. It's Renee. So yeah, she joined me. She went to the press screening with me. It was very, very, very fun. A couple weeks ago, and I've been anxious to get this review out, but we were all, you know, embargoed until recently. So yeah, well, here we are. So big shout out to our Patreon supporters. If you want to help support this program for just as little as $1 a month and join the league of extraordinary listeners, just go to patreon.com/blackandahalf and sign up there. And if you want, you can even step your game up a little and become an Inner Circle member like Stefan Ward or Keith Nagel. Step it up a little. Also, please, if you have not yet, please go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe. Maybe give us a 5-star rating and leave a comment. Really appreciate it. For the holidays, you know, it's past Thanksgiving to be thankful for it, but it's Christmas. That could be your Christmas gift to me. A nice rating and a review. And yeah. Other than that, please tell a friend about this program. And of course, you can always check out my other podcast, You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein, where I educate and empower home buyers all across the nation on the best strategies to purchase a home. I do that as a real estate agent myself in the Seattle, Washington area. So if you're around here, I can help you out with that. And, you know, we can drive around, look for homes, talk about movies and TV shows and superheroes and Star Trek and Star Wars, like all sorts of fun things. I'm not your average agent. I'm fun. So there you go. But that's that show. But this is this one. So right now I want you to open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to episode number 188, West Side Story, with Renee.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
Through the Twitter, you actually meet. I never meet people through. I don't have enough people interaction. I don't know. I'm really bad at Twitter. I'm so horrible at Twitter. I don't know how to get people to tweet back at me or to retweet.
Or
whatever. It's like I feel completely up there, so I stick with Facebook and people I know.
I do. I mean, it's memes, GIFs. I'm very gifted. You're gifted.
So Renee, I had you. You were my guest to see Spielberg's West Side Story.
I like to think of myself as a special expert that you brought.
A special expert. Yeah. With your, because of you, your background is, you have a background in, right? Oh, okay. Costuming.
And I do a lot of, like 1950s, costume, like cosplay with Comic-Con. So I do a lot of that mashup, and I have a deep passion for musicals and a deep passion for Shakespeare. So this specific film blends all the things I love together.
For the people that don't know. So West Side Story, this is a version directed by, Steven Spielberg. An adaptation of the 1957 musicals, rated PG-13, runs a whopping 2 hours and 36 minutes, though I did not feel like it was that.
Without an intermission.
Yeah, with no intermission. Let's see. The cast, we have Ansel Elgort as Tony and Rachel Zegler as Maria.
New to acting. I think she came off of like Twitter. Like, she's brand new to acting. Like, this is like her debut.
Really?
It's amazing. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Writers, screenplay by Tony Kushner, and Arthur Lawrence, based on the stage play. Of course, Stephen Sondheim wrote the music for it. And let's see what else. Summary of it. For those of you who don't know, if anyone doesn't know, an adaptation of the 1957 musical West Side Story explores forbidden love and the rivalry between the Jets and the Sharks, two teenage street gangs of different ethnic backgrounds. At least in this version.
We'll get to that later.
That's fine. I love it. And this one is based loosely off of Romeo and Juliet. In this rivalry, and so instead of families, they're gangs, and different. One's a Puerto Rican gang, and one is a all-white gang. You know, here's an interesting, did you know that Stephen Sondheim had never met anybody that was Puerto Rican prior to writing this?
No?
Yeah, I just learned that today when I was researching about this, and I was like, that's crazy. That he just wrote it. I was like, that is bold also. Oh my gosh. Back in the day when you could just, no research, I just wrote this. And then he started putting it up. That's when he met like the people auditioning. The first one is sort of famous for starring Natalie Wood, who was totally not Puerto Rican.
She's like Czech Republic or something.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Actually, and I was looking, you know, I was watching some snippets of the original version. And because here's my thing. I'm not going to compare this to a stage version, because a stage version of the musical is, of course, going to be better. I think stage, if it was meant to be on stage, it's always
live theater alive, is always better.
Alive, it's just more, it's more intense, right? And yeah, so much more variety. And I was watching the old one, and I was like, actually, the Tony looks more ethnic. Like, he looks more Puerto Rican than Natalie Wood did. The first one was supposed to be very much, you know, this racial play musical. And actually, I felt like this new one, for some reason, maybe it was just having an authentically diverse cast that made it stand out to me. Yeah.
I mean, it's still a little, we get to the depth of color, but still, yeah.
You know what? Also, another interesting the first version, they put, they brown skinned, Rita. So that one of the one who plays the, Bernardo's girlfriend, right?
Anita.
Wait, what was the?
We're talking about Rita Moreno, who later shows up in this film.
Yeah, she plays as Valentina.
Correct.
But in the original one, they brown skinned her, even though she was actually Puerto Rican. They put it because they're like, oh, you're not dark enough. No. And it was funny. And she was like on set saying, well, you know, we're actually all different colors down in Puerto Rico. You have white, and you have brown and we haven't said black. And they were like, no, stop, stop. They didn't want to hear it from her.
She was advocating for it.
Yeah. And I think it's wild in the talking of colorism in it, because it, Maria in this version is one of the lighter skinned people in it as well. That doesn't bother me because I think she's clearly Latinx. That didn't bother me. People are bringing it up. A bunch.
It's hard not to discuss the just the skin tone of the film, considering casting is about the difference in the races. I mean, it's not avoidable.
Well, and you know, it's interesting. Casting people have tended in time to cast lighter skin versions for lead actors of whatever ethnicity. I think one of the reasons I have a problem with that, the argument about it, is half of the time I'm pointed out that if I say, well, I'm light skin, I'm black, but I'm light skin black. You're like, well, you're still black. You are black. You can, you know, I'm acknowledging your blackness and everything. But when they take these actors and say, well, but they're the light skinned one, as if they aren't, it makes me like, wait, if she doesn't count as Latinx enough, how are you counting me as black enough? Yeah. And they'll do that in other plays. I'm like, wait, are we black or are we not? Am I black or not?
Yeah.
Because you're not accepting this actor in the role because they're too light-skinned for it, or what the real person would have been. But we're acknowledging that we're all different colors. And also, I grew up in a time where we're trying to do colorblind casting, which... So I think there's no... I don't think there's a right or wrong answer in it.
I don't think there's any way to win. I mean...
Yeah, there isn't. Especially,
they made progress.
Like, we're looking like 20 years... Everyone's going to be gray. Like, we're all going to be mixed so much that there is, like, it's going to be hard to find people to play these roles in the right ones. Well, anyway, it's a social part of it, and it's probably important for discussion. In this, okay, here's what I loved about this film, and I loved a lot. I was looking at the old version, and I was like, you know what I like about this movie is that it's a movie. It felt like a film, whereas the original one looks, you know, it's shot, it's cinema, but it's shot, you know, like where she sings I Feel Pretty, you know, it's in one room. That's where it was set on the in the play, in the stage version, in this one room with people sewing. In this version, I Am Pretty's in a department store after hours and they're cleaning it and they're going to all different spots. This one really embraced that it was cinema, that it was film, and it looks like a film everywhere. The other one looks like they adapted a play to stage, or they adapted a stage to screen.
Well, Spielberg did use the original choreography, and then he filmed the original choreography as a film.
What?
So he took the stage choreography.
Okay.
And he utilized the stage choreography, the exact same choreography as if it was on a stage, and then he morphed it into a film, and he utilized film techniques paired with stage choreography.
Ah, okay.
Which is why when I was in the theater, I was having moments of, oh my gosh, this is the stage choreography. But the way they filmed it, there were big stage moments, but also there were intimate dancing moments simultaneously.
Hmm. I like that.
So that's probably why you got the feeling that you did.
Well, yeah.
Whereas I was seeing the technicals of it.
Yeah. But even that, it opened up and I've been joking about that this is going to be an alien. There's an alien that's going to show up or something, like how he's going to change it, right?
I feel what you said. I was like.
And then it opens up on some rubble as it's going. And I was like, it looks like it's the apocalypse. This is awesome. Did he make this? Did he set this in a dystopian future? Is that what's going to happen? And then it's like rubble of the land getting knocked down around it, which I'm not even honestly sure how much in the original that played in.
It's Shakespeare foretelling.
Yeah. It was... But it opened up, I was like, yes, it's an apocalypse version. But then no, it just went into regular into the regular musical. I loved number one that it felt like a film, and I wanted to see that. Two, I really loved that. I like the artistic direction on this. I thought it was fabulous. The color, everything was so bright. I think it was shot so there was such beauty in every shot of the film. I think you could take a screenshot every frame of it and turn it into a postcard and it would be beautiful.
Well, set design really felt like it was significant to the cultures that we were embodying. So when we were inside Maria's house, it felt very specific to we were like the set design and the different things. And we were in department stores, like there was a shift and you could feel the differences inside the cultures. It was, and you could feel the difference from the jets, from the sharks. Like it was very noticeable in the way they had the set design and even the colors from the different sharks and jets, and even in their clothing and attire, but it also was symbolic of who they were too. Mm-hmm. And it was very distinct. And I love that. But also the colors did pop on the screen.
Yeah.
It was not muted, except for the rubbles. And like they stood out against the buildings that were falling and the buildings that were crumbling. The costumes stood out against that.
Where do you, when you as a costumer, as someone who, someone who cosplays that era a lot, is there anything you're looking for as far as, I don't know, authenticity when you're looking at it? Are you ever watching the, do you watch stuff like this just accepting they're going to do whatever they want? Or are you looking for authenticity?
They went so authentic. They got the white dress on Maria. And I was like, oh, they have her white dress with the belt. Like they went that level of authentic. Like it was a direct callback to the original film. And it was that level of authenticness that I drew into, and I was paying attention to that detail, but it also was of the era too. It wasn't an exact replica, but it was specific to the level of detail of, you know, her character, and she was putting up a fight because she didn't want to be so sweet and innocent and, you know, but also it was fitting and it was, you know, it worked. There are some films where, you know, it's more of like Knives Out. There's the sweaters have, they're worn. And so there's different, like, where are the wear places? This one is with like some of the police officers' uniforms. Are there wear marks? Are there little things? I look at it as a whole, but some of them, it's more of like, are they just... Even like a look as deep as the background characters, like, are we just throwing things on them or are they actually paying attention to they're going to be seen? But as a musical, it's more of in the dance sequence.
Yeah.
Are they limiting the movements? Do the costumes enhance the choreography or are the costumes making the choreography like as a distraction? Because it's the dresses are supposed to enhance it. They're supposed to add movement and add, you know, as a character themselves, as opposed to be a distraction. And that's what I look at. Am I distracted by it or is it adding, you know, an extra layer of, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I,
feeling.
As a director, a stage director, I never did a bunch of the aspects. Like I never really did costume design besides a class, right? A lot of times I'm like, I don't care. I could do this. I have everybody in all black. I don't care. I just want to do this. That's not what I'm worried about. I'm worried about the story and I'm worried about creating moments on stage. But then like, okay, well, we're going to do costumes. Well, you can add, there's levels that you can go up, right? That mm-hmm. like, okay, first we're just going to add in like, you get a hat. Each one gets a hat, right? But it has real distinctiveness, right? Or then you add in more. But when you go full costume, full realism, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to see this. Well, okay, I guess there's two. One, I go in and I go, I don't want to have noticed the costumes and then they've done their job. But I think they should always be working on the subconscious level, like of colors of like, you know, this colors gets you think of a royalty, like in a world, it affects your subconscious. And then the second part I go, but then the enhancement part where I'm like, if I were to shut my eyes, if I were to close my ears and just look at this, you know, play, I want to know what's going on in screenshots of the play at any point. And the costuming and the props and everything, the artistic direction has to be there for all that to happen. Right.
Correct.
Or we got to go minimalistic completely on this and have nothing, just a bare stage. And it's all about the acting. So I like it sometimes when I'm watching something and I go, oh, I didn't notice that. Oh, but now that I'm looking, that's really cool. Because I watch movies for story and moments first.
When it comes to time era.
Yeah.
The costumes do play a factor. And then I get really snotty because if you're going to do time era, you have to do the costumes well. Otherwise, they get distracting. And there are some films that, because they're harder to find, and so they will recycle costumes in the background. And that's super common. But then, like, there's modern movies where costumes are things that we'll find every day from stores and things that people are already wearing. And so things are just happening around us, and they're not that as big of a deal, and they're not as important. But then there's other films where it can stiffen a character because it adds to, you know, their type of personality.
Yeah.
Or it can soften a character. And so that like those little elements can
help.
They wear
tight shirts. They always have their collars tight.
Correct. And so I'll look at those things. They're happening subconsciously in background, but I also, my eye naturally is drawn to them more so than, you know, facial tics or nonverbals.
I think I had when I was young, I got very upset watching the Academy Awards and some, I remember Gandhi won best costumes and I was livid because it was against something like Tron. And I was like, I was so young. I was like, he's wearing a toga. How is that? That's not even close to the Tron outfit. What are you doing? This Tron outfit's amazing. I didn't care about authenticity then and stuff. And I think I'm still bitter about that. And so I get into the like, why I get mad when an authentic production
with the Academy
over the
Awards,
imaginary.
Yeah. Academy Awards, I make a concerted effort to watch all of the nominees for set design and costume design. And I believe that Spielberg is going to
sweep it.
He's going to make a run for this for a lot of things. And those two categories. And so I'm like, tick, tick, I already got this one out. Because I was watching it and I was like, yep, he's making a run for it for those two categories.
Yeah.
Because the level of detail set design for this one.
It's going to sweep production designs, I think. It's not going to hit. I don't think it's going to get Best Picture. I don't know. If it might get a nomination. It'll get a Golden Globe for sure. Nomination. But I do not think it'll hit Academy. It's not going to get the Best Picture.
There was a lot of little things throughout with set design. As you were saying, like the colors and everything was vibrant. There were some things, just the subtleties in the background that were sitting there that I think it's worth noting.
Yeah. And Spielberg is just a master at this, right?
Yeah.
He's not new. And he knows how to make a beautiful film.
Yeah. And for me, the visuals and it stood out more than the story to me. It was stronger for me.
You know,
the visuals were stronger than the story.
The thing about the story, watching it this time, I was like, I don't think this story is actually that good. I don't, I mean, the old, it's not the both versions. There is a, someone was complaining about, they didn't think that there was chemistry between the two actors, right?
I was going to bring that up.
Was that you?
No, but oh, okay. I support the person who said it.
Okay. You support the, that, you agree?
Well, I was going to say it to you because the person who said it, I was like, whoa, let's bring that up. I don't think, I thought there was more chemistry within the Jets and more chemistry within the Sharks than there was chemistry between the Leafs.
Oh, yeah. But here's the thing. I was watching clips of the old one. Yeah, they didn't have it either. And also, I don't think the script really gives them those the opportunity. They really have a very short meeting before they fall heads and heels over love. They don't get the... Romeo and Juliet get time to fall in love. And they get poetics. And they, the script,
they have the language.
The script rushes this through. Remember, in Romeo and Juliet, and you remember, Romeo has just fallen out of love with somebody. He was already...
He's heartbroken over Rosaline.
He's heartbroken and he's open and he wants this wound to be healed. Where Tony is just out of jail. He's not like, he's not talking about anything about like, he's not looking for love in all the wrong places. He's not this weepy fellow that Romeo was. He's not overly emotional in any way. Mm. He just goes to the dance. And like he goes there to help set up the war, right? To set up the, he's convinced to go.
Well, because I mean, there was resistance. Like he kind of didn't want his
friends. He's not there to go meet anybody, right? So yeah. I don't think that the script really provides them a place to, you know, to get the spark going. Like you're just expected. I think the script just expects you to accept that these two are madly in love.
The songs lead you there as the way musicals do, but it's still just the acting just wasn't, the emoting wasn't there for me for him, like for that.
Yeah.
I thought she was fabulous, but him, his choreography and dancing, but just the, I don't know.
He was an average Tony, I think. Like, I don't think Tony's ever particularly that good. In stage versions I've seen, I don't think that their love is justified by the script. I just don't. No. So I'm okay with the chemistry not being, I don't think they have enough time for us to see a chemistry. And I think Tony's a little, I think he's written a little wooden. I think he is.
But even if it's written wooden, you can, a good actor can still add to it. A talented actor can still act their way out of a paper bag. I mean, there's
maybe
still, especially when you're given, I mean, when an actor's given a song, they can still like give something.
Sondheim though? I mean, Sondheim's not a easy thing.
It's a challenging. Yeah, I know.
I feel like we're lucky if their songs sound good. With the Sondheim, let alone then we got to worry about chemistry too. And
other people in the musical did well.
Yeah. Well, they had no requirement to, nobody's looking for them to have spark. Everyone wants this like lust. I just don't like, you know, when I see a production of West Side Story where I think the couples are actually like in love and so spark, I will take that back. But I think it's flawed. I think it's flawed in the writing script. Of it personally. It's hard sometimes. I don't know what to spoil in a movie that's an adaptation of a movie that's an adaptation of a play. I feel like everyone should know the story already. But
I mean, there's a few things that were change, so we have to be careful with a couple changes. Yeah. And the couple changes, I think the use of Spanish, I think, is worthy of talking about. I think that
the,
one is,
okay, I was trying to look that up. Did they not use Spanish in the original at all?
Not like this.
No,
this was a lot of Spanish.
Yeah,
this was a lot of Spanish.
And I didn't even notice it until someone else had written about it that it was this brazen use of
Spanish, say brazen.
Or like without. Or like a bold choice, like they're just gonna do it and not subtitle or anything.
I didn't know. They started speaking Spanish. I'm like, okay, whatever, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know. I was going in blind.
It was partly in the script. They go, speak English. Keep saying speak English to practice your English, right? That's why they want you to do it. But yeah, they speak Spanish. They don't subtitle it. So you may not know what they said. You get the gist most of the time. But we're so used to it. We're so used to being handed an English, all English, so we understand everything.
It's in the news right now that Spielberg said I was intentional with not providing subtitles for Spanish. I wanted it to be an even plane. I wanted it to be equal.
I love that. I love it.
It's great.
But I am curious what they're going to do when it's on like Amazon Prime.
I'm curious about the ADA and how it's going to be handled with a hearing impairment and how that will be handled, because right now there's not enough information. And I looked it up with my profession is supporting people with disabilities. And so I was like, I'm curious about ADA and how that'll be handled. There's not enough factual information for me to have an educated opinion on this, because I wanted to provide an educated opinion and I can't.
I know a friend she's a professional sign interpreter, and that's her living. I'm going to ask how they deal with that. Like, what would she do if she was at the movie and then they started speaking Spanish? What is she going to do? Like, what? Oh, nobody mentioned this part. Well, that's interesting. I wonder if it matters what language you're...
It's dual language.
But it's also the language that
what you're receiving. And so it would have to be translated into English and then interpreted to you.
I feel like this is going to real sound stupid to me. Is there a Spanish sign language?
Don't mean to explain this to you.
Is there a Spanish sign language?
So I had one of my clients, I don't know, one of my clients, I had to get interpreters when I worked with the state of Washington. And one of my clients, he minimal communication, and they had a communication board, and his speech language therapist did all English for him, even though at home primary language was Spanish. And so his language board was all English. Yeah. And any signs he was learning was English for his signs, even though his primary language at home was Spanish. Okay. And when I did his meetings, I would get a Spanish interpreter. And once the Spanish interpreter didn't show up, his mom is like, well, you know enough Spanish, we'll just go. And I was like, okay. Like, her and I made it work. Because I have like 2 years of high school Spanish. And she had a little bit of English. And her and I just, you know, we went through it.
Wait, do you do sign language?
No.
Oh, okay.
But he knows gestures. He knows a little bit ASL, and my ASL is so minimal that basically I understood some basics and I could, but he was using his word board the whole time. But I mean, basically he would sign to me Batman, and I knew that one because he wanted to tell me he was going to the Batman movie.
Isn't there an international sign language?
I could not.
I thought there's ASL and there's another. Yeah, that's what I don't know. That's interesting. That's a puzzle. I'm going to ask her about this because I'm curious how they would handle this movie.
But within the context of the movie, having it just flow, it works.
Mm-hmm.
It works within the context. And I was able to understand cognitively what they were saying without understanding the words they were saying. Like, and I didn't need to know it word for word. I just needed to know the tone and understand. And then they would tell them, no, you need to speak English. And then they would rephrase. And sometimes they wouldn't. And it just was more hysterical because they're so frustrated. They would go back to their native language because it was a heartfelt, passionate moment. And I love that.
Yeah. It's well done.
Yeah.
Then, did the people talk about the original version being the dancing being the forefront of it? I didn't know that until I read it today.
I mean, there was a significant amount of dancing. I don't know. To me, I can't recall that it was in the forefront, but it definitely like I mentioned earlier, the original choreography, right? The choreography is a big part of this musical, is a significant, I mean, the lyrics and the choreography are just a large portion of it. Mm-hmm. But I will say that Spielberg did film the choreography well. Like that is, it just took me away how well it was filmed and how well the big musical numbers were given their moments.
Do you think that the dangers of gangs or weapons, sometimes people try to make pointed toward a gun control thing, I guess, but I don't understand. But like supposedly gang warfare, the dangers of that is often pressed in productions of it. Do you think that came across in this? About
I think it was the same as the original film. I think the escalation of from fighting to the escalation point was the same as the original film. I don't think it was changed. Like I don't think there was any like tonality difference. I think it was conveyed the same similarity of escalation of violence.
This is supposed to have an anti-violence.
Like violence begets violence. Like Shakespeare, like same.
Yeah.
Same stuff that Shakespeare says.
You know what it lacks though? It lacks this in Romeo and Juliet, there's this threat that the prince lays down. If you all don't stop fighting, this is the punishment the next person who fights is gonna get, right?
Oh yeah. Well, that's because the play had more material to work with.
Yeah.
And you had the
this one, it's like, hey,
the governor or the mayor, well, the prince.
You dumb white kids. You're all dumb for being stuck here. It's not going to be your place soon anyway. Get out. You're a bunch of losers. Stop fighting.
They didn't really respect their governing forces of the place anyways.
Yes.
I mean, the musical number makes that very clear.
Yes.
So there really wasn't the threat because they were running that city.
And I don't know. There's part of me that feels like, man, when they decide to escalate this, like, oh, we got to have a rumble. We're going to have a war. I was kind of like, I wish there was a bigger reason that they wanted to have that war, the big fight to begin with. Like they did. I felt like they want us to accept that we've hit a boiling point. We're at a boiling point here because they're covering our names with paint. we're just really mad and we're really mad. We're ready to rumble.
It doesn't give us like we just jump in at that point.
Yeah.
And we're just expected to land there and write it.
Like, I wish it was hotter.
It doesn't build.
I wish it was hotter. I wish it was more like and do the right thing. You get why everyone's tempers are hot. Yeah. I wish there was a little more of that, like faucets
the atmospheric
opening
pressure.
Up. Yeah. Cause it might have been summer in there, but it didn't, I get it. When people want to fight when it's really hot, I just get it instantly. Like, of course you do. It's hot. It's fighting weather. There wasn't fighting weather there, I felt like. But it's and the song, how did you feel about the changes in the songs? Were you content?
It threw me off a little.
Couple melodies. Medleys.
I mean,
I
was happy that a specific actor was given a song because it was a moment that had probably the most emotional impact. Mm-hmm. So I was happy that a specific actor was given a song, but also, like, considering that the rest of the cast really wasn't bringing any emotional chops, I was like, that was, you know, what needed to happen in that end of the second act, into the third act.
Yeah.
Like the tonal shift.
Did you
I was trying not to give anything away.
Yeah,
sorry.
What's her name? So is it
talking about anybody?
Valentina. So she's the one that has Tony staying with her, right?
No. Yeah, so Valentina's role was changed. So she was recast as the role of Doc, and Doc has since passed away, is how they've shifted it from. That's one of the story changes I liked.
Okay, so in the original, he wasn't staying with somebody who was Puerto Rican, and Doc wasn't married to someone who was, okay.
It was, yeah.
Okay, well then I think that is an element to why I thought the racial part was a little more highlighted in this one. Because I love the fact that she was in a mixed relationship, and that was a little, that kind of negged a few people there.
And I
people
don't think that's, like that. I don't think it's, I mean, it's a minor change, but I don't think it's like a massive spoiler because everybody knows she's in the film as Valentina.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's giving anything major away because it's not changing the story anything significantly.
No. But yeah. I did love that. I think that's probably why I thought.
That's why I was being very delicate on how to bring it up. Yeah. So I don't know to what extent you want to bring things up.
I don't know. It's again, it's
Valentina
so hard.
Has the song, guys. Sorry.
Yeah. This is so.
Valentina made me cry.
Yeah. Well, I think this is the things like Valentina West Side Story test me in my spoiler rules because it's weird. I don't know why I'm so against spoilers now when I grew up in a theater. Or
do you want to explain to our dear listeners who Valentina is?
Sure, because they only care if they've seen it, if they know the story, really.
Well, the historical connotation that, you know, Valentina is. Played Anita in the original West Side Story.
Yeah.
And she requested to come back for this one. And they're like, well, yes, of course.
Yeah. This woman has had a great 3 years too, by the way.
Yeah.
She's had her career. Last 3 years, she's got a few hits. This, In the Heights, Encanto.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, oh.
Well, she's also with Carmen Sandiego. So let's not forget that.
Oh. I forgot.
Yeah.
Did she? Yeah. Was she in the live adaptation too?
She was like the one I grew up with. I don't know. She was the voice of Carmen Sandiego for like a while growing up as a kid. So she was a voice actress for a while. Yeah, I mean she's had like an amazing career, and you know when Spielberg wanted to make this, you know she shows up and says I want to be in it. They made it work.
Yeah,
and she sold it like it works. Like her arc, she was one of my favorite characters. I loved it.
Yeah, I mean I like that change. I like that change a lot now. The more I'm thinking of it, I think it enhanced. You know, when I see these press screens, I go outside and I'm asked to be given an immediate reaction that I have to tell the press people, and I said something about let's see if I can find my note that I wrote.
As a guest, I always remain utterly silent because I know there is that expectation placed on the press. It's really hard for me to remain quiet, but I do.
I put Spielberg's West Side Story hits harder than the original as it leans into its racially charged story with a more modern lens. And I think for me, the racial, because of that I think that change of him staying with somebody who was Puerto Rican and then him end up killing somebody and them asking, and then there's a conversation about who did you beat up to get into jail and who were you with in jail and this stuff. I really felt him staying with her really added to all that. I think it really amped it up a bunch. Just that. And I think it's amazing that one little cast change can do that for me. And I don't think I even realized why. Yeah. That was until this podcast and we talked about it, why it felt more to me that way. And when I told the press person that, she goes, really? Like she hadn't heard that before. Like she was surprised that I thought it was had more with race than the others. Plus the whole having actually Puerto Rican people in the production.
I think they definitely did put much more pressure on the race differences and then the original one. And I think that's also part of the culture that we have now in the films that we're making now. And I think that because of where our society is as filmmakers, we're more allowed to do that and take those steps.
Can you watch the old version?
I'm going to go back and watch it. I plan to.
But can you watch any movie of that era and enjoy the acting? Like, when I watch movies of that era now, I'm like, oh, the acting is bad. They all act bad. We don't act like that anymore. We don't use that style. Acting has evolved since and you can tell it's a very period dated way of performing. Marlon Brando would never be a hot actor now. People would not be into his style of acting.
I watch him under the context of when the time era that they were filmed. But also I watch him under the context of, okay, that was then. I am who I am now. I still am not liking Holiday Inn and all that is Holiday Inn with Abraham Lincoln song, but I understand what's going on.
Yeah. I think I just can never... I might be I am admitting my bias here. Okay. That I think I think this version is partly one of the reasons I think it's better than the original is right now. I can't watch movies of that era that often because the acting style is just not something I enjoy. I can watch them in a historical analysis or to see how they did stuff back then, but the acting style is just not something I'm into. I don't know.
I might disagree with you here. I mean, production and filming and costume wise, I think it's better, but as a whole, the original of its time still stands up and it's 10 Oscars.
Well, that's what I was looking that up and going, oh my God, that would never win 10 Oscars now. That couldn't win 10 Oscars.
But at its time.
At its time.
And I look at it of its time. It is and I was a little late to watching this one. And just because of John from About to Review, he kind of shamed me for being a musical lover and haven't seen it in a while. And because of my friendship with him, I was like, okay, fine. I'm going to, watch it. And I did. And I was like, why did it take me so long to watch it? You're right. And I'm in love with it. But there is, I mean, it stands up for its time and I love it. I just don't know if this as a whole in the problems that I still see, if this as a whole is better as a whole than that one.
Do you think it stands? I don't think.
I'm saying as a whole.
What year? 57? Was it 57?
61.
61. So what are we at? 40 years? No. 50? We're 50 years?
I'm a social worker. I don't math.
Okay. I think it's 50 years. I guess we won't know. I probably won't live then to see the answer to this question. But I don't think this one in 50 years is going to look as dated as the original now.
Well, maybe the next one in 50 years will actually have aliens in it.
Because that'll be the turf war.
Yeah.
Excellent callback. I appreciate that. Okay, so we've gone on a long time about this film now. So got to cut to the ratings on it. So here on Black and a Half, I have a 3L system for rating. I give it a love it, like it, or lose it. So Love It is a film that after you walk out, you got to call someone, you got to text them, you tell them you got to see this film or you're streaming it and you get on Facebook. You're like, you got to watch this film.
I got it.
Like It is more of a general. And I will say you can even like a bad film, you'll stop and watch it. And then sometimes you give it a like it. It has to be
I've
bad
already
enough,
seen
right?
like 18, 19 Hallmark films this Christmas. So and then, trust me, I know my bad films.
And then Lose It is the Lose It. I say I lost 2 hours of my life. So you don't have to. Right.
That's like me and Justice League. Okay. Yeah.
So, I am going to give this a strong like it. Because I don't quite love the script. I think people can live without seeing this. Where there's other films this year that I'm absolutely like appalled that I couldn't get people to go see. But yeah, so that's what my rating is. A strong like it. Very high production value. Well, what would you give it in that rating? Would you give it a?
As you were explaining the ratings, I already fell into the strong like. Okay. I had a couple people who knew I was seeing it, and they're immediately like, "You have to tell me what you know." They're immediately like, "I can see like the messages come through." They're like, "I'm like, well, you know, I love the set design, I love the costumes, but I have opinions about that script."
Yeah.
And they're like, "Of course you do." And it is like, it's, there's a couple of script changes I don't agree with. There's a couple of things that just, the chemistry just isn't there for me. But it's definitely, I'm glad I went and saw it, and I'm glad that I experienced it. It's definitely one that is visually stunning. And that is the challenge that I face. And I feel all the emotions. I also cry at Hallmark films. So saying I cried at a film isn't like, let's give some context, people. But it is a strong like. It is not one thing that I love.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay, well, thank you, Renee of Pixie Bomber, for coming by, being my guest to the film, and to the guest on the podcast today. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And for everyone else, have a very black and a half.
Live long and prosper.